to welcome everybody out tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting for Monday, July 11th, 2022, at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building. And just like to welcome all of you here tonight. Thanks for everybody that's here, and we'll just go ahead and get started. Our first agenda item is public comment. We'll open that up for public comment. Okay, no public comment. So I do want to say one thing that I jumped ahead a little bit. Just want to let everybody know that Eric's father passed away, and he'll be having some funeral things coming up here in the next day or two. And so he's been dealing with that, and we're sorry for that. But if there's anything you need, please let us know.
Thank you.
If you didn't want me to publicly announce that, you can talk to me after. But anyway, let's go to item number two, agenda item. Pedal Fast through Daniel discussion, and we'll open that up to you guys. I don't know your names, I apologize, but...
Sorry, I'm Marilyn Gerard. So I put on a biking event that's called Pedal Fest, and it is a fundraiser, and all of the funds go to helping girls who are dealing with anxiety and depression, and helping those who don't have the means to pay for that treatment, to be able to get the treatment. So that's the purpose in having Pedal Fest. This is our second year, and we have extended the routes to some longer distances, which has allowed us to bring some fun to Daniel as well. So I just am needing a letter from the city stating that you're aware we're coming through, and that's okay. But before I requested that, I just wanted to see if anybody had any questions about it. We really only come up, and Daniel will come up 3,000 coming from Charleston, and then at Daniel Road we will take a right on Little Sweden and go up and then cross 40. So that's all we're in Daniel. Three of the four routes will go through that area. They start at 8 o'clock in the morning, another one at 8:30, and another at 9. And I'm hoping my riders are back across 40 and down and through by about 11:30 or 12 after they've played up the Heber for a little while.
Okay.
September 24th, sorry.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday. So it's a Saturday morning.
Is anyone providing any sort of security or supervision, or is somebody putting up markers or any sort of control?
Yep, thank you. So about almost a week, just short of a week before, we will post signs on some of the main roads. It's a big sign that says caution drivers, event on road this Saturday. Not every road gets that, just where some of the main intersections are. And then on the day of the event or the night before, we will post our direction signs for our riders, and we'll have some caution signs asking them to ride single file in certain areas and some things like that. All of those signs will come down. All of the signs that I put up that don't include anything to do with Wasatch Barricade, I will have down that same night. We do have aid stations providing food and medical and bathrooms, but none of that will be in Daniel. We have Utah Highway Patrol, which will help us get across 40, and a couple of other areas. Anywhere that UDOT requires us to place somebody, we will have that person there. And then every distance of riders, we have a 15, 30, 45, and 60. But we have a SAG rider, so somebody who comes up at the very end that's making people aware, certain volunteers at places, and the policemen, like, this is the end of this amount of riders, so that we have cleared our riders off the road by the end of the event. The Wasatch Fire Department is aware of it. I'm going to have to get several permits for this, so it does go through the county, the city, the fire departments, the health departments, all of those things like that. Each of our riders do wear a wristband that has an I need help number, and if they call that, then it will call a person at our venue, and then we can dispatch somebody out, whether they need fork on their bike, they need somebody to come pick them up. We will have self-help first aid at each of our aid stations. If it's an emergency, of course, they need to call 911.
And it starts in Charleston?
It starts at the Charleston Town Park.
So they would get through our area very early in the process?
Yeah, they get through your area, and then two of the distance do some riding up in Heber, and then they come back down and through again.
Same route back through?
Same route back through. Actually, some of them will cut across, once they cross 40, they'll cut across on 1200 and then down 3000, and some of them will come back the same way down Little Sweden. So.
Do you have a blanket insurance policy that covers?
We have added Daniels as an additional insured.
Insured, that's.
Yes. Yep, you're on there already.
Thank you.
Sounds to me like you've done your homework and you've got UDOT involved and you've got, you know, everybody involved that needs to be involved.
So you need a letter from us?
I just need a letter stating that you're aware that we're coming through and that that is okay. I would also just put out there, is it possible, would you have a problem if I used some spray chalk on the road for some direction so we don't have to post quite so many signs? It's really hard to get those signs in on the side of the road in the gravel. So where there's a big long road, it's nice to just kind of spray the logo with a little, like, keep going, you're on the right path, so that our riders don't get lost.
How long does that last? I mean, it wears off pretty good, or?
It's chalk. Okay. So the first water that hits it, it should be gone.
Next year, that's.
Depends on if we get right or not.
That's true. I could come by with some water and dump water on if you would like. And if you'd prefer I didn't, then I don't have to do that. That's.
I don't have an issue with it.
Be aware that there's quite a number of large trucks that come on 3000, especially Saturday mornings.
Yeah, we ride. That's a pretty popular route for a lot of the bikers in the area. They're already on there. And I'm assuming most of our longer distance riders will be seasoned riders and be aware of a lot of that. But it is an open road ride. And then it's a ride, not a race also. So, you know, you won't have to go in line for position. It's an open road, closing road. I'm not closing down. Keeping it, Daniel, for this.
If I might, Scott. We've asked you for some documentation on the email. Kim pasted and sent that. Is any of that documentation?
She's presented it. Yes, okay. We have that.
So that satisfied that requirement?
Yes, she satisfied it.
Okay. We try and get everything in line just for the council's information so that we make sure the EMS is aware of it. And even the bus garage, if they have buses, anytime they're closing a road or inhibiting passage, we want to make sure those permits are in place. And then we don't actually issue a permit from Daniel because of the liability. In the past, that's what we've done. Because we didn't want to incur liability, we didn't permit it. We allowed it to happen, but we don't permit it. So as long as they've went through their channels, that's just.
Is that a town policy, or is that something you've just adopted?
That was what the old council had set up. So that's why I said whatever you guys want to do is something if you guys want to permit.
Is everybody else permitted to giving you a permit?
Charleston does not require a permit. Midway requires a permit. Heber requires a permit, and the county requires a permit.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's quite a process of going through all of their departments for all of that. And are you Eric?
I am.
Oh, good to meet you.
So. Really, basically, what you're asking for is a letter stating that
you're aware we're coming through.
We're aware and that
you're okay with it.
We're okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only concern I have with that route is Saturday morning past the dump, whatever, the transfer station is really kind of busy. So if you're going to post anybody, it might be there.
Sometimes you can even have vehicles lined clear up out into the street
waiting to pull in
because there's such a short. Queue line to get into the landfill.
Okay, so that's something that I will, when I announce each distance of riders to go out, that is something I will definitely make them aware of right there. And I'm hoping to have a person on either side of the light right there at that intersection. So.
Will the highway patrol, because you have to have somebody there?
I have not heard that they're requiring highway patrol there, but
They're right on Saturday.
I haven't heard that from UDOT. I needed this letter before I could submit to UDOT, and then they tell me where they're, all the mandatory officers will be.
I mean, technically, that's county. 3,000 south is us, but.
Yeah. 189.
Well, where the transfer station is county ground, but the road is in Daniel, correct?
Half the road.
That light covers three municipalities. It's awesome. Try to do anything there.
Okay. So, I'll just ask, Kim, did you prepare a letter for us?
I did not. I wanted her to explain what her thoughts were, where they were at, and, but I can have that for the next meeting. I can have everything that she's turned in, including the route maps.
Well, and I'm thinking she needs this a little quicker than next meeting.
Yes, yes.
So, I would say, is there any other public comments, any other questions before I rattle off what I'm gonna say?
I love this chair.
You like the one next to it? I can't wait to tell you in this one. But so honestly, as a council, I mean, do we have any issues with this?
I do not.
Robin?
No.
Mary?
It's public road.
Okay. So I would ask that we get a letter put together, and does it need to be signed by all of us?
No, just one person.
Okay.
We're in
agreement. Well, I'm asking because I'm learning like everybody else. I would ask him to get a letter put together probably tomorrow or the next day. I would sign it and get it forwarded to you based on the discussion that we've had here and the advice and counsel of the council members. So, do we need to make a motion for this?
Probably.
Okay, I'll call for a motion.
I'll second that.
You made the motion first.
Yeah.
Okay, I move that we endorse a letter to the developers or the sponsors of the Pedal Fest fundraiser on September 24th in the morning hours to allow them to traverse our streets with our consent.
Okay. I'll second that too.
Okay. Have a second. Any discussion on that? Let's call for a vote.
Mary, yes.
Kohler, yes.
I agree with that.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. All righty.
So there was only one more question. Is this something that could be put on the Facebook page?
Of course,
just so
we will do that.
That our
citizens
are aware.
And I think
we'll
need to post signs and all kinds of things, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you mind if I did an advertising sign somewhere, just like a yard sign? Since there are so many bikers that go up through that area, would you have any problems with me just putting a little notice out there that this event is happening?
Where do you want to put it?
Probably on 3,000.
You want to put it in my yard?
I would love to put it in your yard.
Okay.
Where is your yard?
$7.99.
So the sign is okay if it's on private property?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
it's,
that.
It's more of a banner just announcing the dates. That's why we wouldn't put it up, you know, until just before, right?
No, I need it up now to get riders.
Okay.
It's advertising.
Before he gets home.
Sometime this week, hopefully. Okay.
Call Jed.
Hey, thank you all. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you for your time. Let's
quickly, Scott, before yes. we leave, is that something that maybe you want
well,
to have?
Like I say, I did not know whether that was town policy that we do not issue permits.
Yeah.
Because somehow that's a declaration of liability.
Yeah.
Especially when we're covered as additional insured under the policy. I guess I'd really like to maybe discuss that some more at some point.
So that was my question. Do you need Kim to send you that email with those items on there for the council to review?
No. I think we've pretty much taken a motion and I guess we're moving forward just as we have in the past. Like I say, I didn't know whether that was a town policy that we don't issue permits. And if there's a reason why, I'd really like that to go on an agenda for further discussion.
I just thought if you had questions, you could look at what we was requiring, because it's just standard, but it, okay.
I'm not interested in that.
So what's different in what we're requiring or what's, if we were to issue a permit?
I think we would definitely require different signage, notice to residents. If they're, I mean, if it's really going to impact the town, I think that we have to look at that. Another thing we have to look at is, last one came through and it was right in the middle of our road project. Well, that was, you know.
Did they not make contact with you?
Well, they did earlier and then it went way beyond what they said and then bam, we're in the middle of a road project and here comes the bikes. It's like, oh boy, here we go. So we kind of like to coordinate. We could have told our contractor, had we, you know, you got to shut down for this. We've got this scheduled. But unfortunately, it's not going to be on us, so.
We got anything scheduled then?
Yeah, September 24th. There's a bike race.
Road close.
And I would imagine that just along the lines of that, we would have to have some type of an insurance policy ourselves covering.
Right. And if they're, and I mean, if they're gathering here, then you've got the mass gathering permit that's required from the county and all those things. And so that's what we really were trying to do is make sure they do their due diligence. If they've done that, then what we would require would be covered. And that's basically what that notice was.
And that's what's happened with what they've done, so.
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay, let's go ahead and move to agenda item number 3, business licenses recommended for approval by the Planning Commission. We'll just start with the new. We have an application here for Momentum Equine. That's Aaron and Jeremy Charchenko's business. The Planning Commission has reviewed this and approved this, and we have some information here from Aaron that is regarding what they do. Aaron is here today. Aaron, for the commission, do you want to get up and explain anything to us? Do you want to say anything to us?
Sure, I could.
Okay.
I was wondering, so I haven't put it under Jeremy's name. It's technically just my business. Does that matter in with regards to the license or anything?
I wouldn't think so.
It doesn't. So it's just.
If you don't want your husband to be part of your business,
right?
Just a good idea.
Yep, 100%. So this business, I was approached by a private school to create a horse recreation program for their girls who suffer from anxiety. They come from all over the country, and it's an in-home facility, and so they're looking for opportunities for the girls to have chances to interact with horses. And right now, I'm still waiting to hear back from them as far as if it's going to happen in August. I haven't heard officially. So everything that I have in there is all based on if it happens. So if it doesn't, I would look for other opportunities, but I would still want to keep max six kids there, no more than that, and then whatever assistance we would need.
This is a live-in situation?
Not in my house.
Not in your home?
Yeah, at the school, the girls.
Where is that school?
It's in Midway. It's called Cascade Academy.
Gotcha.
Aaron, I have a question.
Yeah.
And as I've gone through this information that you've given to the Planning Commission, it says that the hours of operation currently requested are Tuesday from 9 to 3 and Thursday from 9 to 3. And then down in that same box, it says potentially Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Yeah.
And so this, it's my understanding that this is a conditional use permit based on what's been submitted here. And I'm just asking for clarification. If I, I mean, Tuesday, Thursday, 9 to 3, or potentially Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. What do you foresee with this? And I know you don't know, because you don't know if it's going to happen or not, but this is on a conditional use permit, and so it would require probably us taking another look at that hours, you know what I'm saying? Just because 2 days a week versus 5 days a week.
4 days a week.
Four days.
So the Tuesday and Thursday, 9 to 3, was specifically what the school had asked for.
Okay.
But like I said, they haven't gotten back to me, so I'm wanting to provide more flexibility for any other people that need to come, can come.
Okay.
So that's why I put it that way. So
okay.
I don't know.
Well,
I just,
as I was reading through this, I just noticed that and just wanted a little bit of clarification from that. So, Gary.
I don't think that's changed from what we saw at the Planning Commission, so
okay.
Planning didn't have a concern.
The planning didn't have an issue with that, so.
Yeah, I hadn't adjusted that. That was what they saw.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Okay.
So there was just one thing those hours do not equal to the plan submitted. And the plan that's written and submitted is what was approved. So those hours don't line up with the plan that was submitted. That the Planning Commission got, it had it spelled out, the hours, it's in your packet, and it shows what those hours are. And they're not every day, it was those specific hours.
So are you saying that the conditional use permit is no longer acceptable and I have to go back before the planning commission?
No, I'm saying that it was submitted, your plan was approved as it was written. If you want to increase it, you have to come back before the planning commission for additional conditions. You just went from 2 days a week to basically a business all week long. That's a different condition. Your hours are different on that sheet you submitted in the meeting versus the plan.
But you had both sheets in the planning commission.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that I submitted separately.
Yeah, the first one you submitted the plan, the drawn up, it had your hours in it. Then we asked for a site plan and then that was turned in at the meeting.
Are you, what are you seeing on there on the back of that?
Oh.
Because you were reading.
I was reading this. I think this is a wonderful idea. We all know how great horses are with, you know, kids with problems and adults too. I am a little concerned that this will become a for-profit business. You're indicating that you are hoping to be a non-profit. Is that really your intention, or do you want to be a for-profit? Or?
So the school approached me with this idea, mm-hmm. and through this whole process, like I said, they haven't been really quick at getting back to me, and so I have reached out. I mentioned it in there. I've reached out to a company called Bridal Up Hope. If I'm able to become their satellite location, I have to become a nonprofit. So there's lots of hoops that I have to jump through, lots of money that I have to pay. Ultimately, that feels very right to me. And I don't know how to get from here to there, so I'm just.
I think there are a lot of organizations that might want to participate in this. That's why I'm just bringing this up, because I can see this developing and growing. You are under conditional use, and I haven't seen the conditional use. So, did we limit the number? Did we? Because I haven't seen it.
Is that plan on in the packet? Do you not have that? I guess you wouldn't, because it's a license that was under the conditional use.
I didn't see it if it's here, but.
It's right. It's part of this right here. Conditional use general procedure.
No,
well, this was
that's the code.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just
haven't reviewed
the code.
Well, so.
Okay, so, I mean, like I say, I think it's a great program. I'm not trying to pour water on any of this. I can see that this would could become very popular. And a very good destination, Daniel. It's an awesome place for that.
So the thing with the Bridal Up Hope is it's a one-on-one interaction. So it would be a single student with a single instructor. Right now I'm the only one. So at the most, if I were to go through Bridal of Hope, at the most that I would have on my property would be one single person, unless I were to able to hire more people, and that would have to be down the road. I'd have to renew with you guys, you know, I mean, it would be, it would be, anyway, yeah.
Like I say, I didn't get to see the conditional use, so let me ask our chair here, do you think that we have conditions in place that will control, that it's not a problem for the neighbors?
Yeah, we didn't have any negative comments from the neighbors after the notice was sent out. Planning Commission didn't have any issues, really, just questions. So, yeah, I don't see an issue. I mean, with, you know, the limitations that are there now, and it doesn't sound like, you know, plans are changing. I mean, bigger issue would be probably dodging the gravel trucks that are going on.
I'm assuming this is gonna be so awesome, you'll be getting phone calls from all kinds of people. I bet you will.
Any other questions then, or comment?
Karen, I guess, in addition, let's just say, like Mary's saying, this thing takes off and becomes very popular. How many vehicles could you see actually at one time being on your property if you needed to park, let's just say, a half dozen or eight or nine vehicles? Do you have space to be able to do all of that?
I do, yeah, it shows on there.
I have not seen that.
Oh, the map.
So that the issue of absolutely not letting, allowing anybody to park on the roadway would be so important because of the narrow nature of that road.
Right, I could park four vehicles across Broadway on my port driveway, and then on the gravel area, I could park quite a few over there, but I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
I mean, I'm a big fan of anybody who, on the outside of a horse, is good for the inside of man, and anything that we can do. Spend more time on horses will make us all better people.
That's true.
So Aaron, I do have a copy of this, of your plan, if you want.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll just hand that out. I mean, this was all the conditions on the conditional use.
Yeah, I've read it all.
That's what we have.
Yeah.
That's what we have, yeah. Do I have any other questions?
Anything else, Barry or Robert?
No.
Okay. Anything else, Aaron?
Well, I had specified here that we'd like to offer our services to other schools in the valley that might have interest or a need for this type of program, and I specified the program that was currently being set up was specifically for that one school. So maybe I didn't spell it out clearly enough, but I feel like I did cover my bases with providing an opportunity to say, hey, I am looking for more than just these 2 days.
How many horses do you have right now?
We own seven.
Seven. So would you be using all seven at the same time?
No, I don't have a big enough arena for that.
Sounds great.
Okay. All righty. Let's go ahead and on the new business licenses, let's call for a motion.
I will move to approve.
I'll second that.
Let's go ahead and call a vote then.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, we'll hit the renewals. Aaron, thank you.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it. Our renewals are Buck Electric. Just pull this real quick. Buck Electric is Brent and Mary Waterman. It's 3203 South 600 East in Heber. It used to be, well, it's BMCI Electric. And on here it's Buck, and that's what it is, Buck. They've been in business for a long time, Brent Waterman and his wife. The other one is Simpson Fence, Ryan Simpson. 781 West, 3000 South, fencing material. It's a renewal. A1 Roofing and Siding, DBA Kimball Roofing and Siding. Their address is 3400 South Highway 40, Daniel. They've been in business for quite a while. This is a renewal. And Jolly Electric, 740 West, 3000 South, Heber City. And so those are our renewals. Go ahead and call for a motion on the renewal.
I just have a question.
Okay.
On the A1 Roofing and Siding, 3400 South Highway 40 isn't even in Daniel, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's that storage shed up Daniels Canyon on the right-hand side of the
okay.
road before
All right.
you get to Little
gotcha.
Sweden.
Gotcha. Okay.
He also, I think, had on his sign, if I remember right, it's got a little car. He restored cars.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Things there also.
Got it.
Yeah. And he has some in Charleston, too.
Yeah. So down there across the on Highway 40 now, I see he built a new building down there also.
That's where he lives.
Yeah.
And we've had no complaints on anything?
None that I've heard. Okay. Let's call for a motion then.
I move that we renew the business licenses for Buck Electric, Simpson Fence, A1 Roofing, and Jolly Electric.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion? Let's call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4, approval of the meeting minutes from June 6, 2022. I'll give you a minute or two to read through those. I just want to thank Tim for getting these out a little bit early, a few days early. Some nights when I can't sleep, I pull these things up and read these.
And then you can.
Then I sleep like a baby. But anyway, is there any discussion on the meeting minutes? Any questions, any comments?
One thing I would point out is on the third page as it printed out, you repeated just one sentence, and it's no big deal, but
let's fix it.
The final adopted fiscal year 2021-22 budget amendment, it's right there in the middle, and then the last sentence on the page is the same. So you might want to delete one of them.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do that.
Okay.
I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes with the deletion of that extra line that Mary pointed out.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Let's call for a vote then.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 5, council reports. Start with Mary, if that's okay.
Let's see. I am the contact person for the ARPA funds, and so I was contacted this last week that they expect to submit our funds to our bank account in the next, well, in the month of July. So that's an additional $63,732 that we have in our budget that is coming through. Let's see. I wasn't prepared for this tonight, to be honest with you. So there's that. And then I want to follow up on what I said about the tax assessments. They have, not the assessments itself, but the property assessments have now been posted to the county website. So everybody can check to see if they have been increased or decreased or whatever. There's going to be a lot of outrage because a lot of people in the county have not reassessed for years and years and years. And they're surprised at how much the property has been assessed at this point. And the amount of taxation has not been determined because we don't all have our certified tax rates in, and so they can't, you know, formalize that until those are all submitted to the county and then to the state. So,
we have ours in.
We've submitted that,
okay.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, they haven't put that all together yet, so.
The county had said that they were going to start sending those out on the 22nd of July.
That's right.
So, supposedly they'll have all that.
They will have that all. But it's not online.
House has grown. Everyone's house has grown remarkably.
Yeah. I noticed that my valuation didn't change much, but my house is twice as big as it used to be.
Yeah. Ooh.
Which is pretty cool, except
I gained 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
You gotta put water in that.
Well, it's going to be an ugly year for the county assessor's office. I feel pretty sad for them, but it's what they have to do. That's all for me.
Okay, thanks, Mary. I actually have just a couple of things real quick that I just want to report on. And so about a month ago, I rode around the town of Daniel with Troy Morgan. He was here last month and talked a little bit with the fire board, and we rode through Storm Haven, we rode through Crazy Acres, we rode through the whole town of Daniels, talked a little bit about fire mitigation, talked about different areas, and he kind of made an assessment in our discussion on different areas that were heavily foliaged and had a lot of, I'll just say, combustible material at this time, and thought that it might be good as a town if we put a community day together and maybe did a community day of service. Now, I know in September that there is a day set aside for community events and community service. It's called the Day of Service. And what I'm maybe suggesting, and this is something where we don't have to make a decision on this tonight, but it's something to think about, that maybe we take that day of service and incorporate that into a Daniel area cleanup, where friends and neighbors and community can get together, kind of help each other out a little bit, get some stuff out to the road, cut some things down, cut some brush down, do a few things. I spoke with Tom Gordon the other day. He called me, and they're spearheading a little bit of this day of service. He's in one of the guys in charge of this in this area, and asked if there was a project that I knew of that maybe they could provide some effort in doing, and I told him yes, and that we would get to him with some details. And for the most part, the town of Daniel's in pretty good shape as far as, you know, most of the people take care of their lanes and their roads, and they, you know, they mow their lawns and they keep things mowed back. And there are a few areas that we do need a little bit of help in. The gun club, surprisingly, was in pretty good shape, according to Troy. Crazy Acres and Storm Haven was a little bit more of the troubled area. And we know there's one way into those, one way out. There's no fire hydrants and stuff like that. And so I just want you to think a little bit about that. And moving forward, I think we maybe get a plan in process where we can submit a little bit of what might need required, and then we get the manpower from the whole community and do a little cleanup and maybe get a few dump trailers and haul some stuff off. And
do you know what day in September that is? Not the 24th?
Yeah, I want to say it was the 17th
the
or the 18th.
No, it's the 10th.
The
10th?
Okay, so September 10th.
You load on the 10th, we can take it to the dump on the 24th?
We can take it to the dump. And I would probably go talk to Kelly Christensen down there. And I know Kelly pretty well, and I really think that Kelly would work with us and let us dump some stuff down in there. Before I make a decision for him, I want to talk to him. But I know him pretty well. And in the past, we've done some youth activities where we've cleaned the roads up, and Kelly's provided garbage sacks and allowed me to dump my dump trailer down there for the service. And I think they would be on board for that type of cleanup, but I'll go talk to them. So September 10th, I think we kind of geared towards that. I said a lot more than I wanted to, but let's put that in the process. I've also talked to Quentin Lewis. He's the guy over the county weed spraying. We're in, and Robin is over the county weeds, and he's talked to Quentin also, and it's been discussed a little bit that for $1,000, the county would spray all of our roads and all of our weeds and kind of manage that. I haven't got it in writing, and I'm still in the process of talking with Quentin. But I would like to just let you guys know that discussion is taking place, and that there will be some information coming forward on whether the town thinks that's a good idea or not, and we adopt that.
Can I give a little update on that too?
You bet.
Obviously, the primary weeds that we're talking about here are thistles along our roadways. And once those germinate, then you lose the battle. And so the county, and I don't know that you've noticed, but as you drive up and down the road, the county just decided to go ahead and spray anyway. So they sent out a couple of young men, and they pretty much went, I think, pretty much throughout the whole town and caught most of the weeds that they could catch from as far away as they could send their nozzle. And I've gone around and seen that, and they did a great job. But I think the mayor is on. This is not designed to kill all vegetation along the road. Don't get that impression. It's just to help take care of the noxious weeds, which by law, towns and cities are required to do a part of the upkeep of our roadways. Anyway, they went ahead and did that this year with free of charge, and I told them we'd send them a big attaboy or root beer float or something, but those kids worked pretty hard and went around and got those thistles knocked down. So, sorry for...
Yeah, no, thank you. I'll take Quinn in a box of donuts.
There you go. Well, you'll be his friend forever.
But I just did want to report on that. Then probably the last thing that I'll report on is I got a call from Brenda Kozlowski today, the mayor of Charleston. And we all are aware of the bypass roads that have been presented and that the county's taking a look at. Construction on those will start later this year, I believe, or next year. I'm not 100% sure. But Mayor Kozlowski would like to have a joint meeting with the town of Daniel down at the Charleston Town Building, where they bring UDOT in and have UDOT answer several questions regarding when they start closing 189 for renovation work, or Southfield Road, or 2400 South, or however that's going to transpire. And I'll ask Ryan to correct me if I say anything that is not correct. But she would like, she has to write a letter by July the 22nd and submit it to UDOT, and in order to have this meeting. And honestly, I really felt like it was a good idea that we got together and we had questions answered on where they're going to reroute traffic, when they start this construction, and how the town of Daniel will be affected by road closures. And I can't remember everything that she said, other than they are planning on closing 2400 South at some point, so all the traffic on 2400 South would be diverted somewhere and other roads. And so what I am suggesting is that I go ahead and ask Mayor Kozlowski to write this letter and just include the town of Daniel in the letter that we will be at this meeting. And we publicize this meeting, and we get whoever, you know, we get citizens there, we get the public there for comment and to hear what the plans are when they start that bypass road. Ryan, I'll ask you to enlarge on that if you would like to expand on that, because I think you have a little more information too.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of an item six here to kind of go through the five options and talk about what the county, what UDOT is planning and what the five alternatives are and how they could affect the town. That was a great summary, and that was a good enough summary. Let's get more detail.
Yeah. Well, and I, like I say, I got the phone call from Mayor Kozlowski this morning, and I was hanging off of a roof of a building, putting some fascia on and trying to hold the phone and listen to what she was saying. And so I did justice what I heard. And I just think it's a good idea that we get together. And I'm asking you guys how you feel about that. And we just combine the letter with her. We let her write the letter and we join the meeting.
Couple things real quick, because I think there's two issues. One is they are planning a reconstruction of 189 construction project, where they're going to tweak some intersections, and fairly minor project, but that is starting, I think, this fall. Kind of construction's imminent. I believe construction of the bypass is a little further out,
right.
But they're in the process of choosing which of the five alignments works best. Town of Charleston and Daniel were invited as part of the public, but they went to Wasatch County, they went to Heber City, they went to and had special meetings with a lot of folks. They didn't come to Charleston or Daniel because the bypass doesn't go through those communities. But I think what they missed, in my opinion, is that there's some effects to both Charleston and Daniel, potentially some significant effects. And so I was at the Charleston meeting and suggested that, you know, let's get UDOT together, and instead of making them come to two meetings, we can get together and we'll have one meeting and voice our concerns, but to leave us out of the discussion. Just because the road doesn't go through to town is, I think, a little bit presumptuous, because there are some impacts to both communities.
So is UDOT not, I mean, they're still quite a ways out. They're still doing the impacts from each of those five before they even suggest a choice.
Yes.
So they've got environmental impacts and all that, other than they've got to do on all five options before they choose to get it down to.
Yeah, so they're going through the EIS right now on all five to get it down to the selected, probably, you know, the selected alternative. So between now and July 22nd is the time to make public comment if you have any.
Right.
And so the item we had here on six was due, does the town council want to make a statement or write a letter with an opinion? And so we can each individually write in our own thoughts and our own opinions. But do we want, as the town of Daniel, say we strongly oppose or strongly support or don't really care?
Well,
Well, I attended a meeting with UDOT over in Midway, but all the towns met with them, and they talked about the different bypass options. All the bypass options will send more traffic down 3000 South, just because people will avoid it. Just so you know. So it doesn't matter where they put more, they put more lights out on 40, which they're talking about doing. That's still gonna divert more traffic down Little Sweet and then down to 3000, or Mill Road on to 3000. So all their options, they're gonna impact us.
I agree.
The more backed up and the more traffic there is in Heber, the more a bypass that doesn't go through Heber will be attractive to people.
Yeah. So if we think it's not gonna impact us, it will.
I agree, and I think that was kind of the comment in Charleston, is that they went to, you know, Heber, and they've gone to Wasatch County, they give presentations because it goes through those communities. But it affects us, and it affects Charleston, even though the road isn't in our town boundaries. The effects of 3000 South for us, 2400 South, and 3000 South for Charleston are significant. And so they were gonna ask UDOT to come give a joint meeting, kind of a compromise, you don't have to go to both, but let's sit down and talk, because there's some impacts.
Don't forget the turnarounds make any difference. Don't forget Little Sweet.
Sorry.
So, go ahead.
I think that we should write our own letter. I'd like pairing up with Charleston, but we have a separate agreement, corridor preservation agreement, that states UDOT will work with us on these corridors coming, and if they are trying to exclude us, I think instead of one letter that says we've been missed, two will have more of an impact as far as the regional director will probably see that, not just.
The letter we're writing, though, is just to request a meeting with UDOT.
Yeah.
And there's no sense having two meetings.
Right.
But yes.
Yeah, I agree.
What, at the point in time, you know, where we need to make our voices heard, just maybe now, I don't know, but we certainly need. And again, that's kind of part and parcel why I was hoping we could embark on this plan, this idea of a transportation master plan, which basically then puts in concrete, not just in writing, but puts in concrete what our desires are for the roads within Daniel. And I don't know.
Well, and we'll have an update on that here. Yes,
okay.
Great. I've asked Ryan to talk to us about that. But I like that advice. We write our own letter as a town, but the joint meeting would probably be good to just participate in and get a little better understanding of what's going to happen. And so I will call Mayor Kozlowski in the morning and ask her to write that letter and submit that letter for the joint meeting for both of us, if that's okay. And then they'll schedule the meeting, they'll let us know when that is, and the meeting will be at the town of Charleston building. And they'll schedule all that and let us know when that is. So I'll move forward on that in the morning, if that's okay. Okay, do we need to call for a vote on that?
No, we don't.
Okay. I just had one other question. This land use thing, this agricultural, what's the name of that?
Urban farming.
Urban farming. Okay. I got to write that down. I've had six or seven people ask me about that, and I have not been able to produce that name for them. Urban farming. I call it agricultural farming, but urban farming.
If they go into the assessor's office, if they just mention farming, though, or just
green
belt on a smaller version,
yeah.
They know what they're they know what you're talking about, but it's too late for this year.
Too late this year.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just had somebody ask me about that again the day I was out and about. So, okay, appreciate that. I'm done. Barry?
I don't have anything new, just I'm attending that airport planning meeting, whatever.
I'll get you
that. I don't have anything new.
Barry, before you go, you might want to just talk to some townspeople to see how they feel, you know, because because that's what that citizens group is about, you know, getting feedback to the power that be. So, you know, opportunity to talk to some folks.
Be good.
Robin?
Yes. I think all of us received a couple of letters from Brad Allen, all the members of the town council.
I never saw one.
You never saw it?
Nope.
Did you see it?
Did you see it?
Nope.
Why am I, I don't know,
I checked all my emails and everything.
He mailed two letters to the town council.
I'll jump in with you, Robin, I got a copy. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe send it to the old council.
I didn't get it, though.
Oh, yes. Rather than go into the details, he basically takes a slice of development life and says, okay, here, I recently built a home in Danny. He was living right inside the Heber city limits and chose to build a home. And he proceeds to document in a very, very cogent way all of what that entailed for him. And I'd like to see this placed on the agenda for our next meeting, these two letters from Brad Allen, basically to highlight, because it was eye-opening for me. He goes through the whole process of everything from water shares to the plan check that he went through, and the building permits that he was issued, and the total cost. And summarizing all of that, it was $37,000. That was the cost to, that was his cost to Daniel Town to basically complete that building process. In that, he documents in a very, again, good way that he was required two Daniel shares to the tune of about 1.5 to 1.6 acre feet of water, which equals close to 500,000 gallons of water a year. That's what he is showing that he needed to deliver to the town of Daniel so that he could build his home.
Two shares of water.
Two Daniel shares of irrigation water, 1.5 to 1.6 acre feet of water, which is the equivalent of almost a 500,000 gallons of water. And those shares cost him $9,000. And so, it again, I know we've had this discussion earlier about where did that number come from, and how, what have we done to document that? That's, I mean, I don't want to be onerous, and I don't want to, and I want to be fair, but it does appear that with two shares of Daniel Irrigation Water to build a home in this community, that seems to be a little bit of a large number. So I maybe after I'm through here, you can respond to that and how we arrived at that. But not only that, but he asks, for example, he received a detailed billing of, you know, for the inspection services, and it was down to the penny. And in fairness to him and what he asked for, he says, I would have liked to have seen an itemized bill. If this is the amount of service that I was rendered, I would really like to see that bill broken out. How many hours of inspection, how many hours on plan check, how many hours on everything else that went into that cost of delivering that dwelling. Those two letters are here, and I'll send them to Kim. I don't know why you and I are the only ones that got them.
I only got one. I think.
But because it says Daniel Taylor, and so I don't know why that didn't happen. But these are very long letters, and very well written and very well detailed, which basically summarizes for not just Brad, but for every person who's thinking about building a home in our town. It really highlights, okay, here are the costs, and here are the services delivered, and
And so anyway, it was enlightening for me, but I'm sorry nobody else received it better except Barry and myself.
When I distribute that, do you want it to go to the planning commission as well?
I have no problems with that whatsoever, going to the planning commission. So that basically, it really does enlighten and open your eyes to so that you can basically see the full cost of building a home in the town of Daniel.
Gary, would you like me to send it to the planning commission?
Sure, I think it would be helpful.
So I'll just say one thing. I do want to see it and I do want to read through it, but I receive, and I think we receive every month in our packets, a breakdown from TO Engineering, broke down to the hours and the minutes on what we're paying. And yeah. I mean, I asked for that back in January, and I've been getting it.
I haven't been getting it.
We can definitely, I mean, and it's itemized for every project that's going on. And I've been pleasantly pleased with the breakdowns that I've been receiving and looking at. I think Tabitha, as I've gone in and asked questions, they pulled it right up. And so I think that we can make some information privy to y'all, so that these are the jobs and the permitting, and everything is getting broke down quite nicely, I think.
Does the customer receive one of those?
I can't answer that question.
No,
I would doubt that.
And that's what he's asking. He says, if I'm paying this, he says, if that information already exists, he says, why is it not available to the customer who is actually writing the check? And so I didn't have the answer. I mean, I didn't know whether that's possible or not. And,
so do they get an itemized list that just says inspection, X number of dollars? You know, just single line items, not every billable hours. I can't imagine that.
So we can go over how we do that, but it is.
What do they see?
What they see is a valuation based on how we have our fee set up, which is a convoluted system, but basically it's a square footage. The bigger the house, the more you pay.
Okay.
And so it's calculated off the square footage. And so they see that calculation and then they see a total. And so there's a plan review, there's a building inspection, there's an impact fee, there's a trash fee, there's.
But are those fees broken off?
Those fees are all broken out, yes.
Yeah.
And then there's a total at the bottom. They don't see how many hours, because the fee is based on basically the square footage through a convoluted process. And then the TO bills the town on an hourly basis.
And the bill to the town is broke down by the hour. I mean, it's right. Specific.
That makes sense. Well, I can't imagine us doing that to the customer, because they're paying for inspection. They're not hiring an engineer.
Right. So the town has negotiated those fees.
Right.
I don't know if that's public information or not.
It's not hidden. I think the town can share it if they want, but the TO doesn't provide that to the applicants. We work for the town, so I wouldn't give you another client's invoice, just like I won't give them. But if you want to hand it out, I think that's.
He is not whining. Let me point that out. He's not whining about this. He basically has done an extremely good job of pointing out, you know, what happened. And probably the one that really tugs at his heartstrings the most is the water.
Well, if I can comment on the water, the last time we did a change application, the water that we got in the well when we were done was 0.45 acre feet per share, which we give two shares, gives us a total of about 0.8, 0.9 acre feet. If that's changed, and we do need to do a change application, if that's changed substantially, then we need to reevaluate our policy. But the last time we did it, it got us about 0.9 acre feet, 0.8 to 0.9 acre feet, which I think is about right for a house. If you look at the average consumption, or a few years ago when we last did it, when you looked at the average consumption, those two were very closely aligned.
That's because it's seasonal water.
Yeah. Just the dwelling and his lawn, because he has irrigation water for the rest of his property.
But I'm just, so where did that come from? It came from a few years ago when we did the last change application. It was worth about half of what he's saying.
He told me he really did his homework on that. And I said, I don't, where did you pull those numbers? And
But I have talked to other people who say as well that those numbers are high.
So I'm not discounting what he's saying. I just, the background is the last time we did it, we got about half of what he was, what you just reported. And that is about what the water use was when we did the study. We looked at how many gallons the average house is using, and then they were pretty well aligned a few years ago. If that's gotten out of whack, we need to update our policy.
But the irrigation company meeting issue they were talking about, Twin Creek's doing some conversions, and that was ending up being 0.4 acre feet per share that Twin Creeks would get from Daniel's shares. Mm-hmm. So.
That's really close to the 0.8 for Daniel.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And it's supposed to be 0.8 per share for the irrigation water, but it gets converted to M&I from Jordanelle, and only half of Daniel's water comes from Jordanelle. The rest is high water flow, which may or may not come out of the canyon. And so that's how they judge that. So you end up with 0.4 acre feet for a year round.
Average.
Okay. So I don't know that that's changed based on that information, but that's what I heard last.
Still a lot less money than having a well built.
I guess my comment is not that it's changed, just that if it has, then we're out of date.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A few years ago, I think we were in line. Things change.
When you say a few years ago, you know, like 2, 8?
Somewhere in between there.
Or is it between?
More than 2, less than 8.
Well,
Let's put it out. Let's get it out. Put it on an agenda item, and we'll talk about it.
All right, you're going to talk about sticker parcel.
So I did follow up. Thanks for your text Friday. I did follow up with survey. We will have that legal description out to them this week.
So sticker parcel has agreed to grant us an acre of ground up on adjacent to Highway 40 for a water tank. And they're quite excited about that, as well as we should be as well. They need a legal description so that they can get an appraisal, because they want to obviously take the benefit from that donation as much as they can, because they can use it as a tax write-off. So anyway, we're making some progress on that front. It sounds like we may be close to a legal description, or
we'll have that over to you and to them this week. So
this week.
Sorry for the delay.
Yeah, right.
But yes, they've agreed, and then I think it's I checked with a few funding agencies, and I think there's still money and grants available to apply for as soon as our time is right.
I think that's all that I had on my list of things today.
Very good. Appreciate that, Robin. Thank you very much. Let's move forward to agenda item 6, engineer report and update. Ryan, turn the time over to you.
I was going to talk about the tank. I think we did that. And I think we've covered the UDOT update, unless I was prepared to go through the 5 options and give a high-level summary and how they could affect the town, and then talk about all the conversation we just had. If we're going to have a follow-up meeting and UDOT can explain the alternatives, I don't know that we need to do that. But I can if you'd like.
I think for now, until we have this meeting, I'm okay with that. Or are you guys okay with that? And then just the one thing that all, let's wait for that update, and then we'll update the other, what else is going on. Appreciate that. Let's go to the planning report. Eric.
Okay.
Can I just point out that I sent you, he had 2 drafts, and the one that you got in your e-packet was the first draft, so the correct one is the one that you have in your hard copy packet.
Any questions? That's what's going on in the town. We got plenty going on, as you can see.
I think we're into that a little more than the 4 or 5 this year that we thought we were.
And we're getting hit hard. I received calls daily. The 1680 West, 3000 South parcel. And just today they've called and they want to know if they can subdivide. Same person calls from Park City. No, it's an RA5 zone. It's one acre, one parcel per 5 acres, one residential unit. Okay. Well, we don't want it then. Half hour later, call back. So can we build two houses on that parcel? Okay.
Eric, I do have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Just and some of that's not on the planning report, but
okay.
Down there in the Webb subdivision, I noticed they pulled the roof off of that. They had all the I-joists on the one house. I see all the I-joists laying down on the ground now. I laughed, but I heard a comment the other day. The mayor made him take the roof off because it was above the height code.
That guy.
So I just kind of chuckled. I said, yeah, the mayor did make them do that at some point. So I did see the roof off of that. Was it over the height code or do we know?
The plan showed within the height code. If they was over that, then that would have been picked up at the inspection level.
And that's what I was just wondering, because they had the roof on it, and then I come by about a week later and all the I-joists are laying on the ground. And so I was just kind of curious what kind of a mayor run the town of Dan has a...
Especially to let the other house that has a taller roof kick their roof off.
You got his phone number, you better put it out.
But anyway.
I haven't heard anything from our inspector, and of course we have a new inspector. Did he show up?
No, he's got COVID.
Oh, he's
starting
on
Thursday now.
So we've hired a new inspector. TO has, and we'll be transitioning to another inspector. But
okay. To be fair, we'll have both.
We'll have both.
Get rid of the first. We're just trying to help.
What's the new one's name?
Gentry.
Okay.
So did they take that roof off because of an inspection, or did they take it off because of something that they
did
found?
The wind take it?
I don't know. So the inspector we have has not reached out and let me know it's an issue. So from an inspection issue, I would be surprised if our inspector said to take that off without me knowing. So all I can say tonight is I don't know, but I can find out, but I suspect that
I don't think it's a real big issue, but I guess.
I'm sure if the inspector told him that, I would have gotten a call.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
The fact that Eric and I don't know what happened tells that it wasn't the inspector. Because I hear a lot about what our inspector does and doesn't pass.
Okay. Let's see. I was just looking here. So the Steiner extension permit, that's approved. Mumford's is well underway. Brad Allen, Scott Bassett, Beveridge, Simpson, Tarchenko, Weston Scout. Where are we at on that? I'm just out of curiosity, the Weston Scow.
So they came to the planning meeting. They met with the planning commission. They provided the evidence they had. They requested that they give McGibbon more time to produce more evidence. And so far, we haven't received anything that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Is that that little 1 acre?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And And as just to update you on the Jeremy Keel and the Russ Witt, I've met and talked with both of those guys, and I've gotten promises, but I haven't seen much action. So I'll meet with them again, and we'll it's kind of an ongoing thing. So hopefully we can have it wrapped up here by the end of the summer and go from there.
There's still a stop work order on the Cherchenko.
Yes.
Barn, shed, garage, whatever it is.
They haven't reached their FEMA designation, or they haven't cleared that hurdle. Do you know what's causing it?
They're really close to the hurdle. I've signed off on the hurdle when he got his fees. He won't pay his fees. So until he pays the fees, the application's not complete. We're at a standstill.
And just so the council knows, I met with the Cherchenkos, 2 weeks ago, Kim, approximately.
Yeah.
We went through an itemized listing with them on all the fees and everything. Ryan and Eric was there with me, because the Friday before the planning commission meeting, the four of us meet and we discuss everything, and I did ask the Church Angels to come to that meeting. We laid everything out. We're working on a couple of things, and when we have that information, we'll take care of it.
While we're in that neighborhood, I met with Rex Reeder to express my support for helping him move the fence, post hole digger, the whole thing. He just said, I don't need any of your help, and I mean, I was quite taken back. I spent $300 fixing my post hole digger so I could get down there and help him.
So I've noticed that he's pulled some fence posts out down there by the big white, I think it's the Neff's property, and they're laying there. The last conversation I had with Rex, which has been a little over a month now, he did tell me, he goes, I will take care of this myself and my family, and I don't want anybody's help. And he was a little defensive about it, but in the long run of things, and in Rex's defense, I honestly think that he'll let a few of us help him. It's just got to be the right few. Yeah. And I'm not saying you're not the right few, but we've had great conversation, him and Karen and I. The line of communication is open. I did give him until the end of summer to have that fence moved, and he is aware of the deadline. And to my knowledge, I walked out with him. I laid out exactly where that fence had to be moved to. He wasn't necessarily in agreement with me,
right,
but he didn't say that he was not going to put the fence where we asked him to put it, which was 30 feet out of the center of the road, in line with everybody else's fence that runs down that road. On that side of the road.
Right.
So
if it was less than 30 feet, still to run along, keep even with the other fences, or if it was more than 30 feet, to keep in line with the other fences.
Right. Okay. Right.
Give or take a couple of feet.
Just as a side note, those posts that you've seen laying there are the ones that Neff's pulled and laid over there. So none has been pulled in front of Rex's. That's the Neff property.
Oh, I thought, in front of that field, that's Neff's also, yeah, that got pulled.
Right.
I figured that was part of Rex's, and yeah, that he had pulled them.
No, that was just Neff's. So when he bought that, he put those over there for,
okay,
Rex's.
That's good to know. But, okay. And I'll follow up with Rex. I haven't talked to him for, like I say, a little over a month. So I'll follow up with him again. So, okay. That's all my questions. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Let's go to Daniel Water, Municipal Water.
So the meters, I guess that's me again, huh?
Yep.
Dang it. The springs have slowed down. We're at 93. So they've slowed down a little bit. The meters that we had, the 35 meters, have been put in. Mr. Galish has been up those in. Also, the meter stand at the Paulsons, his meter is installed. And so he'll start receiving monthly billings on that. The other meters, we're still waiting to get those, so.
Yeah. Do they have a time frame yet?
Nope, they don't have. It's like everything else in the world. Somewhere in Illinois in a covered wagon.
the day he was up here installing those new water meters, I actually happened to see him, and I stopped and visited with him for a little while. Seems like he was doing a good job, and he definitely did not want me to help him. I said, man, can I just ride around and help you? And he's like, I can do this on my own. And I was like, man, I just, I got a couple hours. I'd like to just ride around with you and give you a hand. He's like, sir, I've got this. I said, no, good, sit up there. He says, I've done this a lot. And I said, great. But he, good guy. I mean, I had a great conversation with him. And,
yeah, he's a pretty good, great guy.
So
been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
The water tank area has been sprayed twice for herbicide.
Okay.
So that up there has been, if it looks dead, that's because it's dead.
Supposed to.
That's right. That was the plan. I have not sprayed around. Well, we'll go to Storm Haven next.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You can just hit all the.
The Storm Haven, I haven't sprayed around it because I'm unsure about how close to the well. We have a different situation where the spring's coming in versus our well. So, and what? Well, there's a couple of different things. There's a couple of test plots up there that's close to our Daniel that I don't know what has been applied there, but it's within our,
source protection zone.
Source protection zone. And I don't know what has been put on that, but I'm careful about what we put around our water sources because we test for that. And so anything that would permeate into that water supply is, so we're careful about what goes on. I'm not in control over what the neighbors are doing, so. Has nothing to do with us. We are applying Aquanine, which is registered to be sprayed up to the water's edge. So it's glyphosate, the base chemical, but it is labeled to spray up to the water's edge. So that's what we've been using, along with a non-ionic surfactant, which is non-harmful for vertebrate animals. So we're careful about what we're putting in those areas, but it has been applied, and so it has been sprayed. The Storm Haven area has not been. We did hit the sides of the road on that Saturday also, shot some thistle. We do have some other Quinton's highly concerned about the little blue flowers you see on the side of 3000 South. It rubs him about those, but that's not a high priority weed for us, I don't think. Because like Robin was saying, the seed head in a thistle, when it gets away, there's a lot gone, so. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Anything else? Any questions, any concerns on those two items?
Storm Haven's pumping, is it 74 gallons a minute? So at 40 PSI, it's doing great. Well's humming along. The leak is no leak again, so.
For reference, the old well made 30 gallons a minute. And we're now pumping almost 80.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to item number 10, recorder's office warrants approval and announcements. Kim?
I handed out the mail. There was just, I don't know if you still have that, Scott. There was.
The what?
The mail was in one of those. Oh, here we go. So there was just this I wanted to, the first one was sent to you in your packets, and the second letter was just distributed in case somebody wanted to see it. So this was the end of year. So this was all last year. I do have some concerns still about the way we are categorizing something. For instance, Storm Haven Water doesn't have a line item for training. So any training in the water goes straight to Daniel. And then also, and I've already discussed this, but the express bill pay. So I'll talk to the mayor and Mary, we'll see what we need to do to just kind of be a little bit more accurate in the reporting, especially if we're going to be raising water rates or asking for grants. I think it's really important that we can accurately show what our costs are. And having some of the water fund costs come out of the general fund, and then the Daniel Water absorbing what really should be at least some attributed to Storm Haven, I don't think helps us. I've talked to Eric, and any office supplies, any costs like that going forward, unless somebody has a comment or question on it, will be attributed 75% to Daniel and then 25% to Storm Haven, because the ink and the paper and the envelopes and the postage are being used by both, and they haven't been attributed very well. So I plan on, now that we're in a new fiscal year, tightening that accounting up so that it's a more accurate picture of what each water system is costing. So I will point out that the engineering and the permits under our admin are very high, and actually, you know, I don't think you'll notice that on the rest. The reason for that is we were attributing 2 months so that we had that in by the end of the fiscal year, and there was also a mistake that was made. Permits for April were not, the rest of the engineering was submitted, but the permits somehow were missed. And so I've spent a decent amount of time with Tabitha going over that. And so this will catch us up and close out the year so that we are starting fresh with a zero balance with TO. So, but it is a little bit startling when you kind of see that. So, anybody has any questions? We did spend a little bit more. What was left in the office supplies, we decided to, or I decided to buy a significant amount of postage, because as of July 10th, postage went up 2 more cents a stamp. And so since we had the money in the budget, it seemed wise to go ahead and get what was left in that. And it saved, I don't know, like $25 or $30. But I mean, that's a significant amount of bills that go out.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Just one typo on the admin page when it lists me as Council Weaver.
List you as, I'm sorry.
On the it says Council Weaver Dixon.
That's your new name.
You have to come to all your meetings.
Well, I didn't call you a nerve.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions regarding the approval of the warrants? Call for a motion.
The correction of Weaver.
Okay. Let's call for a vote.
Doug and I.
Kohler, aye.
Dixon,
yes.
Okay.
And if any of you want to see the way TO does their
I'll forward some stuff.
Okay, here. I'm just gonna say.
Yeah.
I always bring that if you're, and it's always very detailed. Maybe not for the customer, but it's really clear for me to put that in the different categories. So that hasn't been an issue for me.
Would it be possible if I could get a copy of those letters that Brad Allen's sending, those two letters?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't know how much we let it go out to the public, but
I think you probably ought to retain it to who it was originally intended for first, and then at that point in time. But
so let's do this. Let's get it on an agenda item for the next month, like we asked, and then
okay.
that will become an agenda item, which becomes public. So we'll retain that for now.
All right.
For another month as well. Okay. Well, let's hit. I don't think we have a possible closed session. Let's go to item number 12. Call for a motion.
Motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Vote, call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
We drug that one out, I'm only 30 minutes.